You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Alrighty, so first of all, it's kind of like a weird Sean Fitch Pastor of Youth Ministries reunion going on in the building. So there's like a whole bunch of my former students here. I don't know if that's on purpose or what. Like, hey, it's that day. I don't know what today is, but I've got Caleb here in the front row and Jason there and Adam's here somewhere. There's Adam back there and Jess somewhere. I saw Jess Seiler. She was one of my students back in the day too, wherever she is. And Kyle. Kyle was one of the little bitty ones. So anyway, welcome to all of you that are kind of hanging out with us today that used to be students of mine way back in the day. So why don't we turn on the house lights here, because as we've mentioned, this month we are giving our Ignition workers a break. And so there are a number of you in this room that have completed kindergarten through fifth grade. And I'm going to need your help up front. You're not going to have to physically carry my couch in like you did last week. This is a little bit easier. So here's a couple of things. If you have completed kindergarten through fifth grade, if you could come up here, but as you come up, grab a stool, because I need you guys to have a little line here. And we're going to do a little kids versus parents activity. So if you are completed kindergarten through fifth grade, meaning you are entering first grade through sixth grade, come forth now. Yes, Luke. Grab a chair, and we're gonna make a row across here. Yeah, come on. Just and face that way. All right, audience. Whoa. As I pull the chair out from underneath you. All right, Paisley. Yeah. I mean, basically, if you're in the room and you're not an infant, you should be on this stage. Whoa, are we out of stools? Oh, there's more over here. Okay. Oh, man. Shelby did that on purpose. All right. Coming over this way. Nobody else? You're welcome to come up here. There you go. Now you have a stool. Anyone? All right. Anybody else? Nobody else? We're good. Okay. All right. Yeah, dude, get up here, Luke Hale. Man, don't you hate pastor's kids? Leah's up here, right? And Faith? Yeah, see? See? Uh-huh. Kyle, you do not fit that category. All right. So here's what we're going to do with these helpers of mine and you, is we're going to play a little, let me look at you guys. We're going to play a little Would You Rather, all right? And Would You Rather, basically the way this works, and you're going to be a part of this too, so y'all need to be a part of it. But what we're going to do is I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to say, would you rather this, or would you rather that, okay? And so I'll give you a chance to think about it, and then I'll come back and say, do you want this? And if this is what you would rather, then I'd like you to stand up. But then I'll say, okay, sit down. Then I'll say, would you rather that? And if the other thing is like what you want, then you stand up. So let's try it. Would you rather, this isn't on the screen. Go back, quick. This isn't on the screen. Go back. Okay, all right. This is just an example because we're going to be ending by the end of the morning. So that gives me like, dude, I got an hour and 25 minutes. I'm tired of lying to people. All right. Okay, so would you rather cake or pie? Okay? So if you would rather cake, stand up. You don't have to. All right. All right, now you can sit down. Would you rather pie? And that would be the rest of you? You have to choose one. Come on, we got to commit here. Pie? Which one? Pie. Okay, so stand up. All right, thank you. Okay, all right, good. Good, thank you. Get that? Okay, now, you guys are going to be a part of this too. So just for my little sample, would you rather cake? Please stand up. Shut up, Bill. All right. Would you rather, so sit down, would you rather pie? All right. So the audience seems to like pie better than cake. You guys seem to like cake better than pie. Okay, you guys can have a seat. So here is the first one. Now, these are going to take a little bit of thinking about. They're not that easy, okay? They're not as simple as that one is. So the first one is, would you rather, now you can go with me, would you rather, click it, there we go, would you rather be a mouse stalked by a cat or a rabbit, come on, or, there you go, a rabbit spotted by a hawk. So a mouse stalked by a cat or a rabbit spotted by a hawk. You with me? Okay, so you guys get a vote in a second. But for you guys, how many of you, if you want to be a mouse stalked by a cat, stand up. You have to choose one. All right, only one is a mouse. All right, way to stand strong. All right, and then would you rather be a rabbit spotted by a hawk? Okay, all right. So you guys can sit down here real quick. I want to find out some things. Okay, I want to know why a mouse?
Because I could hide in little holes.
All right, that's pretty good. Anybody, why a rabbit? All right, why a rabbit?
Because you can go in the holes.
Oh, same holes. But what if the mouse is already there? Because clearly he was up before you were, so he's like, get out of my hole. Yeah! That's the hawk getting you. Oh, hey, we have a hawk sounds too. Okay, audience, now you guys, adults, would you rather be, what is it, be a mouse stalked by a cat? Stand up now. This isn't even my mic. All right, would you rather be, sit down, would you rather be a rabbit spotted by a hawk? That's about even. Okay, what do you guys think, about even? Yeah, okay, all right, you guys can sit down. We need to go a little bit faster because I've got 9 of these. Okay, so the next one here, would you rather be, wait, back up, slow down, dude, now you're too fast. Would you rather be tied securely to the bow of a moving ship above water so you'll be able to breathe, or be tied securely to the front of a flying helicopter so you're not going to fall off, but would you rather be on the front of the bow of a moving ship, like, but above the water, or tied to the front of a flying helicopter? How many of you want to be tied to a moving ship? Stand up. Moving ship? Okay, sit down. And then how many of you want to be tied to the flying helicopter? All right, you guys can sit down. All right, what about you guys? How many of you want to be tied to the bow of a moving ship? Okay, you guys can sit down. How about tied to the bow or the front of a flying helicopter? I mean, my personal opinion is the helicopter would be sort of fun. The ship would be terrifying. So, all right, you guys can sit down. All right, next one here. Would you rather, first option, slow down. Stop clicking it twice. Oh. All right. Would you rather pick a carpet clean with tweezers picking a carpet clean, you're the vacuum cleaner, or mow a lawn with nail clippers, click, click, clip, 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 clip. You got to choose one or the other. All right, so would you rather pick a carpet clean with tweezers? Stand up. All right, interesting. All right, sit down. If you'd rather mow a lawn with nail clippers? All right, okay, here. I want to know why. Why with nail clippers?
Because it's fun.
Fun. Wow, fun, huh? All right. Adults, pick a carpet with tweezers. Stand up. All right, sit down, mow along with nail clippers. Okay, all right, you guys can sit down. Let's go on here, the next one. Would you rather, oh, right, because I have a thing. You're right, you're good. You keep clicking. All right, would you rather be raised by wolves or raised by dolphins? No questions from the audience, please. It doesn't matter, you're being raised by them. Maybe they teach you how to do it. That was dolphins. I'm really awesome with the sound effects. Okay, so would you rather be raised by wolves? Stand up. All right, sit down. Would you rather be raised by dolphins? This side is no longer allowed to talk. Anybody on this side, you're no longer allowed to talk ever. Okay, all right. And you're going to have to stay after class. All right, how about audience? Would you rather be raised by wolves? Stand up. All right. I think it's like the same people. Are there like little buzzers making you stand up? All right, you guys can sit down. How about Raised by Dolphins? Yeah. Oh, loud, obnoxious. Okay. All right, good. Next one here. I don't even know how many we have here. Yeah, you click it because of that stupid thing. Okay, now here's the rule. You will not be allowed to wash either of these things ever, okay? So if you're not allowed to wash them ever, would you rather be forced to forever use the same bath towel without ever washing it or forever sleep on the same sheets without washing them? All right? How many of you would rather be forced to always use the same bath towel? Stand up. All right. Sit down. How many of you would rather forever sleep on the same sheets without washing them? Yeah, you're proud of it. Bring it, Paisley. Okay. Let's see how Mom and Dad feel about that. All right. How many of you would rather be forced to use the same bath towel? Okay. All right. Sit down. Forever sleep on the same sheets. All right. There's your papa. Who's your daddy? That's your daddy. All right. Okay, moving on. The next one here. Would you rather, see that cool flashy thing? Spend 2 hours in a room with 100 wasps. Okay, 2 hours in a room with 100 wasps, that's 120 minutes. Math, yeah, totally, bring it. Okay, or would you rather sleep 1 week in a room with 2 rats? Rats. We don't talk about them. Okay. So 2 hours, only 2 hours in a room with 100 wasps, or 1 week in a room with only 2 rats. All right, how many of you want to be in a room with 100 wasps? Stand up. None. Okay, interesting. You'd rather sleep 1 week in a room with 2 rats. Stand up. All right, a little unanimous. Let's see, what do you think the adults are going to do here? All right, how about you guys? 2 hours with 100 wasps? Stand up. All right, interesting. All right, have a seat. How about 1 week in a room with 2 rats? There's just killer rats. No. And it's not chocolate cake, and they don't teach you to talk either. All right, see, I already said, this side can't talk. Sit down. Okay, moving on here. I think we're going to get serious eventually. Okay, this is somewhat serious. Would you rather swim across Greenwood Lake in January? And if you're watching online, my wife, who's still not feeling well, if you're watching online, the ice is broken. She's like, but there's going to be ice. They just walk across. No, they broke the ice for you. Okay? Would you rather swim across Greenwood Lake in January, and if you do it, you win a gaming console of your choice, any kind you want, by swimming across, okay? Or would you rather accidentally find a used favorite game at a yard sale? You're just like, hey, there's a game that I like. Oh, that's cool. It's old. It's used, but it's one of my favorites. All right, so would you rather swim to win? Stand up. All right. Oh, what, four, five? Five of you? Okay, sit down. Would you rather accidentally find the used game? Stand up. Okay, so just to be clear, 5 of you are willing to do the hard work to get the game. Okay, good. How about you guys? How many of you want to swim to win? Some of you, I didn't even have to ask. They'd be like, you're going to stand. All right, you guys can sit down. And then how many of you accidentally find a used favorite game at a yard sale? Okay. All right, have a seat. Yeah, but how used can Scrabble be before it's not Scrabble anymore? Then it's just bubble. Okay, next one. What's next? This, I think, is a little more serious. Yes, okay. Would you rather have the power, listen to this, have the power to temporarily rewind to better times? So you can rewind just for a little bit to a good time, that time you were eating chocolate cake while swimming with the dolphins on the front of the ship. Or fast forward through all the painful ones. So every time you get to a hard time, you can fast forward through the hard things. So now we're getting a little deep, right? Would you rather rewind to better times, only for a little bit, or fast forward through the painful times? How many of you want to rewind to the good times? Right, like back in the summer of 69, right? You remember that, those were good days. You guys have, and then how many of you want to fast forward through painful times? So you want to go, you want to skip the pain, you want to go back to the old thing. All right, adults, how many of you would want the power to temporarily rewind to the good old days, to the better times? Stand up. Okay, all right. And then have a seat. How many of you want to fast forward through the painful ones? And how many of you are like, I'm tired of standing up. I came to church to sit. All right. Okay, all right, cool. So obviously here we're talking about skipping the pain or backing up so that we don't have to live in that moment. And I think I've got one more here. All right. I think this is the last one. Is this the last one? Yeah, okay. All right. Would you rather... Would you rather live an easy life, but as a lukewarm Christ follower? So life is easy, but you're not really, you're just kind of the average, like kind of following Jesus a little bit, doing your thing, whatever. Or would you rather go through a tragedy that will bring you closer to Jesus than ever? And this is hard, and there's no judgment here, even though I'm going to clearly teach in a certain direction in a moment. But seriously, like, let's be real. So hard stuff is hard stuff. So would you rather have it easy, but just kind of average when it comes to following Jesus? Go ahead and stand up. No one's going to get in. You're not going to get in trouble or anything like that. All right, good. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Sometimes it's easier. All right. You guys can sit down. And then going through a hard time, going through a tragedy, but you'll be closer to Jesus than ever. Go ahead and stand up. All right. Sometimes we end up in pain. Okay, adults, it's your turn. Last question, hard question. Be honest. Would you rather live an easy life, but as a lukewarm Christ follower? Go ahead and stand up. For those of you watching online, the whole room is standing. It's crazy. actually, nobody is. And you're not even that camera. Maybe you're this camera. Okay, that was freaky. Okay, and then if you would rather go through a tragedy that would bring you closer to Jesus than ever, would you please stand? All right, so mostly they would. You guys can have a seat. I'm going to need your help in a little bit, but not right now, so I'm done with you. I want you to do something, and please pick up your stools. And there's no stack there. Make a stack there and stack there. I want you guys give a hand for our volunteers up front. Oh, you can stack it that way, too, or make a row, whatever, just stacks everywhere. Yeah, it's all good. Oh, they know what they're doing. That's why, this is what they do every Sunday. All right. Thank you very much. So I want to talk about this idea of hard times, hardship, difficult situations. And I want to be real. Hard things are hard. No one wants to go through hard times, and that's a condition. Like, people that seek pain, that's actually not healthy. But at the same time, going through hard times can be a good thing. And so we're a little more than halfway through this series called Wise Up, in the book of Proverbs. The elders taught last month while I was on vacation, and I'm finishing up this month with it. And we've been looking at different Proverbs that are found in the Bible. And as we said the first week, that Proverbs are simply observations of life. They're true-to-life observations made by Solomon, who was the wisest human besides Jesus on the face of the earth, and some other people that made these observations. So they're not necessarily if-then. This will always happen if you do this, but just observations on life. And so that is that's where we're going. And the point that I want us to talk about today is this. Really deep. Wise up and take it. Because we live in a risk-averse world. We live in a pain-averse world, which, fancy word meaning, no one wants to get hurt. No one wants to go through a difficult time. And we've gotten to the point so much so that we avoid even simple things because we want it to be easy. We want it We want to be comfortable. We want to be pain-free. And again, this series is all about wisdom. So sometimes wisdom says, no, I'm going to avoid that pain. You're like, if you've got a headache, take some medicine. Like, it's okay. Like, oh, yeah, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've got this terrible headache. Why don't you take some medicine? No, Sean said a couple months ago that I should just take it. That's not what I'm saying. But this idea of avoiding pain and avoiding hurt and avoiding heartache, I think it hamstrings us a bit. It shortchanges us. It keeps us from being who God wants us to be. And we're going to look at a proverb here and actually just going to use that as a springboard to go into some other thoughts. But the proverb that we're focusing on mostly is Proverbs 12:1. And so if you have a Bible, paper Bible, you can open in Proverbs chapter 12. If you have the YouVersion app, Proverbs is about 20 books down on your list. Click on 12, and we're going to be looking at just verse 1. And if you don't have that, it's also on the screen for you to read along. But this was a proverb written by Solomon, so this was one of his. And he says this, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid." And we had some friends, actually they're still our friends, but growing up their kids would call each other stupid. And so there became a rule in their house that you're not allowed to say stupid about anything. And it's in the Bible. Stupid's in the Bible. Like, this is the Bible. Calling someone stupid. And so let's find out, why did Solomon call someone stupid? Because the question is, would you still, if you knew what it was going to cost you, would you still choose perhaps something more difficult than something that was easier? And the first thing that, and I'm going to fly through this part because I want to get to some stuff a little bit later, but to set us up, the first thing that Solomon says is we need to embrace discipline. We need to embrace discipline, and this word discipline, and we're going to come back to that, what it means a little bit more, but this idea of embracing it, of not saying I'm looking for it, but when it comes, I'm going to welcome it. I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to take it. And this is written in Hebrew, and the word for, as he goes to the next slide there, he says, whoever loves discipline. And the word for love here is just this idea of being desire, something that you take in, something you delight in. And so it's almost like, wait a second, is Solomon saying we should delight in hardships? Yeah, Paul says the same thing, that we need to delight in these things. And the word discipline, it means so many different things. But in the context here, it's the idea of correction, of punishment, of chastisement, of discipline. And basically the context means something, correction that ends in education. So basically what this word means, it means a lot of different things, but the idea is, are we willing to go through hard times if it will help us to grow, if it will lead to our education, if it will make us wiser people? And that's what this word discipline means. Now, I just should say this too. Just because we're going through hard times does not necessarily mean that we are being disciplined. If you read through the book of Job, Job went through a very difficult time. And the reason he went through that hard time was because God and Satan were having a little argument. It had really nothing to do with Job except that Job loved God with everything. And so Job's friends come along like, Job, why'd you sin? Why'd you mess up? What was your problem, Job? And Job was like, I didn't do anything. And God eventually says to his friends, like, hey, you guys need to be quiet because I'm in control here. And this really had nothing to do with Job. So all that to say that sometimes we'll go through hard times, and it's not necessarily because you did something wrong. But the question is, in those difficulties, are we willing to learn from them? Because we can learn from everything. And sometimes you're in a difficult situation because you made a stupid mistake, because you did something you God wanted you not to do and you did it anyway. Or you were connected with somebody that you shouldn't have been connected with, or whatever. And we get into spots where God's trying to get our attention. And so we go through hard times because he wants to correct us. He wants to direct us into something else. We did a whole series years ago called Wounded. And in that series, where it was in the book of Habakkuk. And we talked a lot about hurt and pain. And so, again, discipline here, hard times, that's just one aspect of hard times. There's a lot more that we talked about in that Wounded series that you can go back and listen to at mc3church.org. But for the point of this is, when we go through hard times, are we willing to learn from it? Are we willing to gain some education? Are we willing to gain some wisdom? So he says, if you embrace discipline, that equals that you desire growth. That means if you're willing to say, okay, I don't want this discipline, but it's here, I'm going to take it, then Solomon says, I've observed that people that say, bring the wisdom, they're also the same people by doing that saying, you know what, I want to grow. I want to become better than I was before. I want to become closer to Jesus than I was before. And so he says to embrace discipline is to desire growth. And that's what the second part of the verse says. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. That desires knowledge, desires this idea of wisdom, desires this idea of something that is gained. And this particular Hebrew word here, it doesn't mean just because I teach you something. This knowledge is like an experiential knowledge. It's not going to high school. It's the school of hard knocks kind of a deal. You know how that works. Like, oh, I didn't know that until I went through this time. Now I know. We watched a movie that just came out last week. Actually, we were supposed to watch it when we were in our canceled trip to Chicago last week. But Ron Howard directed a movie called 13 Lives. It's on Amazon Prime. And I'm not trying to, like, I don't get a kickback. It's a really good movie. There's one word that if you use the subtitles, you wouldn't even know that it's there. But it's the story of the soccer team that was trapped in the mines in Thailand, or the caves in Thailand. And it is an amazing story. It is an amazing, amazing, amazing story. And I'm not going to spoiler how it works out. I mean, if you pay attention to the news, you know how it works out. But this happened in 2018. But there's one particular scene where one of the moms is talking about how hard it is because they don't even know if her kids are alive. They don't know where they are in these caves. It's like the governor or somebody comes up to her and says, oh, I understand how hard this must be. And she's like, no, you don't. Are your kids there? Are they stuck there? Do you know if they're alive or dead? She says, no, you don't understand what it's like because you haven't been through it. And this is the kind of knowledge that Solomon is talking about, is that we go through things and we learn more and understand things in a way that we never would have learned just from reading a book, just from learning head knowledge. Not that head knowledge is bad, but that's the idea. So he says, if you embrace discipline, that means you desire growth. Then on the other side of it, if you avoid discipline, if you're trying to avoid hard things, if there's something you know you should do, but it's difficult, and you go like, nah, that's hard, so I'm not going to do it. Clearly, God doesn't want me to do anything difficult. If you avoid discipline, and that's what the fourth part of the verse says, or the third part, whoever hates correction, and the word means to be averse to it, to be in opposition to it, to be against it. So it's not like, I hate you, correction. You're on my bad list now. I'm unfriending you. Like, it's this idea of, like, okay, I know that there's that difficult thing, there's that hard thing, and I'm going to do whatever I can to not be in it. And that's how we are. I mean, we're human. We get it. Like, that's part of it. Like, no one wants to enter the pain, but sometimes we need to go, okay, maybe God is trying to teach me something through this. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But he says, whoever hates correction. So if you're avoiding discipline, if you're avoiding the hard times, you're avoiding everything that's difficult, he then says this, avoid discipline equals be stupid. That if you avoid discipline, you're stupid. Like, this is his observation. People that embrace discipline, and of course, our mindset is just the opposite, right? People that avoid pain, oh, that's a smart person. Solomon's like, I look at people that avoid pain, and they're stupid. It's the people that say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? How can I grow in this? God, what do you want to do through me? Those are the people that grow. And so Solomon is making that statement that we really need to grow. That's what the fourth part of the verse says, to be stupid. Whoever hates correction is stupid. So, would you still rather, like, knowing that Solomon has observed that people that say, I'm going to take the hard, you're not jumping into the hard on purpose. Hey, I'm going to look for something that's going to hurt. But when those moments come, are you going to do everything you can to get away from them, or are you going to say, okay, God, why is this happening right now? God, what are you trying to teach me in this right now? And maybe, God, what are you trying to do through my situation that has nothing to do with me? Because maybe someone else that you know closely, maybe someone that just sees you from a distance going, wow, look at how they're handling that. What is it about that Jesus that's done in their life? Maybe I want some of that. And that's what Solomon is pointing out. So the point is, wise up and take it. That's wisdom. Wisdom says, I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to complain, and we'll come to that in a little bit. But I'm going to take it. I'm going to say, okay, God, this situation is awful. I do not like it. It hurts. I'm crying over it. I have friends crying with me through it. But I'm still going, God, okay, what is it that I can learn from this? What is it that I can get out of this? How can I embrace this correction, embrace this hard time, so that I can grow to become more like Jesus? Because you can avoid all the hurt and be nice and lukewarm and have an easy life going on through normal stuff. Show up on Sunday, maybe. Maybe you don't show up on Sunday. You're like, God, I checked my card. You're good with me. We're all good. But not have a passionate relationship with Jesus? I would agree. Let's take the hard things. And I think I could probably bring you up here one at a time and say, okay, you know, here's the mic. Let's talk about a hard time that you went through. Did it bring you closer to Jesus than the easy times? And the answer is almost every time, yes. But a lot of times it has to do with this attitude, saying, okay, God, I'm going through this. What is my reaction going to be? Is it going to be to avoid it, to run away, to complain, to get angry at God? Or to sit back and take it and say, okay, God, maybe I need to change something. Maybe I am not perfect. And you are trying to correct something in me. So, just quickly, I want to talk about what is discipline. Because we're talking about kind of a double-layer thing. Because we're talking about God's discipline of us, or the hard times, or the correction. But at the same time, we have this idea of discipline when it comes to parents and kids. And I knew, and on purpose, waited till this week, because I knew kids from Ignition would be in here, unless they leave the room right now. Hey, I'm going to call you out because you didn't come on stage. But I want to talk about God's discipline of us and then what parental discipline should look like, because sometimes we confuse the two and we think that God is going to discipline us like our parents did, and our parents didn't do it in a way that honored God. And so I want to be careful that we don't do that. I mean, just for example, too, one of the other things that's often and sometimes an issue with people is saying God is a loving father, and people were like, oh, I knew my father and he was not loving. And so there's kind of that breakdown. So I just want to say, what is discipline? What does it look like? The first thing is that discipline is love. Discipline is love. It's always done in love because it helps us correct us. And over in Proverbs chapter 3, I think this is Solomon. He says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. So again, reinforcing the same idea. Don't reject it. Don't be upset if you're going through a hard time. Don't complain about God. Don't say, God, I hate you. What's your problem? Because the Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And get that phrase. A father corrects a child he delights. The Lord disciplines those he loves. If we're going through a discipline, through a hard time, it's because God does love us. And our culture, and I would say our American culture, has this upside down. Somehow we think that discipline, lacking discipline, means I love you. Because I'm not willing to make you go through anything that's hard. I'm not going to put you in time out. I'm not going to spank you. I'm not going to take away any of your privileges. I'm not going to ground you. Because that would be mean. And I want to be loving. And Solomon's like, wrong. It's just the opposite. And that's, again, we look at God that way. Well, if God's disciplining me, he must not love me. No, it's just the opposite. God disciplines. He corrects those that he loves. And we're going to see this passage in a little bit. But I also want to talk about the parent side of that. Because parents discipline their kids. And it's not always in love. Over in Ephesians, and these are in brackets in your on the note on the screen there, but it says, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And I'll just say this, as a dad, I've got four kids, two of them heading off to college in 2 weeks, that there were definitely times, and not as much as they're older now, but there are definitely times when they're little and they just drive you crazy. And why did you do that? What were you thinking? That does not belong in that machine. Like, what? Why did you pull on that string that's clearly part of the carpet? Like, just these different things. And it is easy to go, I am so angry at you that I'm disciplining you in my anger. And it's almost like my weird, twisted therapy. And that's wrong. As a parent, we need to take a step back and say, okay, I'm angry right now. Discipline is necessary, but I'm stepping back until the anger has cooled. Because I don't want to allow Satan to get a foothold in my family. I don't want to be known as that dad that always got angry. But, okay, now we're going to talk. That does not belong in that machine. It belongs in your belly. Okay, you're supposed to eat that. And then we say, and because you disobeyed me, this is what's going to happen. No, you have to eat your vegetables. They're good for you. You don't throw them on the floor. I was very upset that you broke that plate and threw them on the floor. These are just made up things, I think. But it's the difference that says, I want to discipline you because I want to correct you. I want you to understand the importance and the benefits of caring for the things you own. The benefits of eating the right way. But that has to be done in an attitude, and that's done in an attitude of love, not out of anger. And over in Ephesians 6, Paul's a little bit more direct to dads. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, he says, don't respond in a way that's angry. Don't make them angry and hate you or hate God because of the way you treated them. He says, rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So discipline has a place, but it shouldn't be out of anger. And so when we are being disciplined by God, we need to make sure that we're not allowing the way our parents disciplined us or the way we discipline our kids to infect that. Because God's discipline is always for our good and never out of anger. So, discipline is love. The second thing is that discipline is necessary. Again, we're kind of in this culture and where it's like, no, we don't need to discipline our kids. We shouldn't discipline our kids. We don't want to take away things that they deserve because they're going to be the next star. They're going to be the best. They're going to be the winners at everything. And as we talked about last week, once everyone's a winner, then nobody is. So there has to be losers if there's going to be a winner. But this idea of, no, we're not going to discipline. We don't. Oh, no, I have a free parent. Our kids do whatever they want. And it's like, no, we need discipline. God needs to discipline us. God's not like, do whatever you want. Because if God let us do whatever we want, we would totally not be drawing people to Jesus. And the people that drew you to Jesus would certainly not have drawn you to Jesus. So essentially, we're all going to hell if discipline wasn't necessary. In Proverbs 23, this is what Solomon, this is one of the sayings of the wise, which could have been Solomon. It says, do not withhold discipline from a child. Don't withhold discipline. They need discipline. It shouldn't be done in anger, but discipline a child. Now listen to me. If the live stream cuts off, give me a message or a text. Give me a text later because I want to clarify this statement. But it says, if you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod, actually, and save them from death. And this idea of, first of all, contextually, that the rod was the means of discipline 3,000-ish years ago. I would not recommend that you beat your child with a rod. Okay, let's just be clear. Especially if you're beating, and then you're in anger and you're in a whole other level. But Solomon says, look, punishment's not going to kill them. We're like, oh, I don't want to punish my kids. It's not going to kill them. Actually, just the opposite. The more we discipline and direct and show our kids the right way, the better they're going to be. And discipline, this is where you need to step it up as a parent. Because you need to discipline your kids, no question. That has to happen. But discipline your kids wisely. I was a kid growing up that we got spanked. There were things, we got grounded. We lost privileges and things like that. But if my mom wanted to spank me, I'm like, bring it. Like, it just, it didn't affect, bring it, come on. Because I know that I'm tougher than her hand. And so that punishment wasn't so great. We learned with one of my children that is not in the room. She's watching online because she's not feeling well. That it was in eating the things that she didn't want to eat. And we're like, well, you're not going to leave this table until you finish your meal. She's like, bring it on. We have a video of her. It's got to be like 10 o'clock at night. she's she's, what is she, 5'3", something like that. And she's sitting there at the table. And dinner was 5 hours ago. And she's eating happily. Something. I'm like, what are you doing, Lily? I mean, random child. She's like, I'm eating dessert. Oh, really, Lily? Why are you eating dessert? Because I finished my meal. So I'm eating dessert. And so 5 hours later, so we had to adjust the punishment. And so discipline is necessary, and you need to learn your kids. Learn what is the best way to do that. But it's necessary, and for us too. God knows us, and God knows what's best for us to correct us and make us who He wants us to be. And so sometimes that discipline is going to look different for each of us. But the point is that it's necessary. Withholding discipline, if God just let us go, we actually would die. But God says, no, I want to correct you. I want to bring you through the hard times because I want to make you more like my son, Jesus. And this is something, it's so important too. Like, we think about it in other worlds, outside of parenting. But like, if you're a chef and you're going to culinary school and you make a raspberry torte that has an E at the end. I don't even know what that is, honestly. You make a raspberry torte. And your head chef professor guy is like, your raspberry torte is not good. Oh, I see your problem. You use shaving cream instead of whipped cream. Okay? I don't know if raspberry tortes have cream of any type, but I'm sure they do now. But like, you know, I'm like, thank you so much, because now I can improve my game, because eventually I'll leave school going, I got my chefery diploma. And you go out to get a job and they fire you after a couple days. Why? Because you keep putting shaving cream in your food. And it's gross. And so looking back, wow, isn't it great that someone corrected you? Isn't it great that there was someone to show you the right way? And that happens all over the place. But sometimes when it comes to parents and fathers, fathers and children, God our Father and us as children, parents and kids, we're like, no, no, we're going to avoid that. No, we want to correct, to grow. It's necessary. We need God to discipline us so that we can become more like Jesus. And finally, that leads to the third thing. Discipline is growth. In Proverbs 19, verse 20, Solomon says, listen to advice and accept discipline. Take it. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Solomon says, you take the discipline, and at the end, you're going to be considered a wise person because you went through the hard thing, you grew, you learned from it, and now are more like Jesus. And, I mean, how many times I've talked with some of you, I know Kirk actually mentioned it in his point, like, hey, Kirk, you've been married. Can you help me through my marriage? Like, there's a reason people look at someone that's been married for, what has it been? I was there at your wedding, so 2021. Right, it was the year of this year. And so there's something about that. You've been through something, so people will look at you and say, hey, what can I learn from that? And we've got people back there in our sound booth training. We've got students training other students on running that. Well, it's just because they learned something and now they can train the next person. So there's a whole lot of this idea that as we accept discipline, people are going to look at us as wise. Not that we're going around like, I'm amazing, I'm so wise, but there's something to going through difficult time and learning from it that gives you a little street cred, that gives you a little bit of something that you have to offer, and definitely to be able to say, hey, I've been there. I know what that's like. But if you avoid discipline, you're just a stupid little kid. We need to accept the discipline. So wise up and take it. Now, I said earlier that I wanted to give you some tips on that. I also told you that I needed the kids to be involved here as well, and the adults to be involved. So I've got three words that we're going to talk about. And each of these words has a motion that you're going to do to help you remember what it looks like to go through a difficult time. Because it says, you know, the point is wise up and take it. So how do we take it? How do we take it? The first thing is to endure. Don't avoid. So, if you all please stand up. On your feet. All up. All right. And this endure, we're going to, just like that, we're going to stand there. We're going to take it. So give me your best enduring, I'm going to take it kind of pose. Bring it on. Oh, yeah, sunglasses going on. Definitely, definitely work it, Gene. This is endure. So when we say the word endure, you're going to be like this. You're going to be like, yes, I'm going to endure. Okay, so let's sit down. No, he's like, no, I'm going to endure. So if I said endure, don't avoid, go ahead, show me your endure. Bring it. Now, back up. Come on, this is exercise. It's good. Endure. You're gonna go through it. Because the opposite is, I'm running away. I'm going over here in front of the speaker. I don't want the feedback. Okay. All right, you can sit down. And by the way, every time I say this word, don't keep standing up because that's going to get old because I forgot that I already made the motions. But when I bring it back on the screen, then you can do that. I don't have time to read this whole passage, but Hebrews 12, 3 to 13 is a whole section on God's discipline. And so I'll try to summarize it. But again, we live in this idea. We have a pain-averse society. We want to avoid hurt. We want to avoid hard things. And Hebrews chapter 12, let's kind of follow me quickly there, Tom. First thing, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote this, says, look at Christ who endured opposition. He endured. He took it. He went through hard times from sinners. Look at him so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Because there's going to be hard times. He says, look at Christ and follow his example. And he goes on and says, you know, you haven't gone to a hard time. God disciplines us on purpose. And that last section there is the quote from Proverbs that we already read earlier. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline. He disciplines those he loves. And so the writer of Hebrews says, when you think about hard times you're going through, remember, Christ went through a pretty hard time himself. And he is our example. And then he goes on and says, endure hardship as discipline. That we need to go through it. God is treating you as your kids. And he says, what kids are not disciplined by their father? A father disciplines their kids because they love them. If you're not disciplined, and everyone does it, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Which is kind of a condemning statement to us as parents. Because the writer of Hebrews says, if we don't discipline our kids, we're not really good parents. And then he goes on and says, moreover, we had human fathers to discipline as they saw fit. He basically says, parents weren't perfect. They screwed up. But, the next slide there, he says that they did as they thought best, but God does it for our good. In order that we may share in his holiness, meaning more so that we can become more like Jesus. He clearly, look at what the writer of Hebrews says here. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. We get it. This is not like, yay, this is fun. This hurts terribly, but I like it. No, we're going through a difficult time. It's painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. He says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Take it. Endure. Go through the hard things. Don't run away because it's for our good. So that's one thing we go through hard times. How do we take discipline? We endure. We go through it. We take it. Over in James, James writes this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James says, God is going to bless you if you endure. Stick with it. Just hold on. Stick through it. Hang on there. Endure. Because God's going to bless you. God's going to make you more like Jesus. God is going to make you holier. So, the first thing is, here we go. Endure. Endure. Don't avoid. Okay, sit down. Good. The second thing is rejoice. Don't complain. So, rejoice means, you know, we're cheering, we're hooping, hooting and hollering, we're clapping our hands. So let me hear you rejoice on three. One, two, three. All right. So the second thing is we need to rejoice. Don't complain. And this is the one thing we're going to stick through this thing. We're going through the hard thing. But are you going to complain your way through the whole thing? Are you going to be like, this is dumb. I hate this. I'm so mad. I don't want this to happen. But we are told to actually, just the opposite. We are told to rejoice in hard times, which sounds so crazy, but it's the fact that God is using those hard times to grow us to be more like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this after what we call the Beatitudes. We did a series last summer called Blessed, and looked at the Beatitudes, which are, and this idea of blessing doesn't mean that you're rich and you're healthy and you're happy, but blessing actually means that the word means that God is active in your life. And Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. When people are being just straight up mean, Jesus says, you're blessed. And what does he say to do it? He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And he says, oh, and by the way, in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You want to consider yourself to be someone like Moses, like Joshua, like Jeremiah, like Daniel? They went through those hard things too. And as we saw earlier, the writer of Hebrews says, and so did Jesus. So rejoice and be glad, not because the situation is fun, but because, okay, God's doing something in me. God is growing me. God is changing me. And then over in Acts chapter 5, there's this whole story of the followers of Jesus. The apostles were speaking, telling people about Jesus, and the council brought them in and ended up beating them, and it's this whole long thing. And then they released them, and it says in verse 41, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. They rejoiced. Paul says to rejoice. This isn't on the screen. Paul says to rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. He says rejoice multiple times. And he says that from in prison awaiting death to rejoice. Why? Because God is doing something through us. And if Paul wasn't imprisoned, most of the New Testament wouldn't have been written. I mean, obviously, God was in control of the whole process. But most of the New Testament letters were written by Paul in prison. And God was using that. So don't complain. When you go through a hard time, do you just complain about it? Are you just a complainer? And again, I'm not talking about being fake, but saying, this is really hard. I just wonder what God's doing. This is really hard. I hope I can learn something from it. This is a really difficult situation. This breaks my heart. But God, what do you want from me? Versus, this is hard, and I don't like it. And it's kind of dumb, and I think this is all stupid. And I like just it's a whole attitude change in here. Do you complain? Is everything a prayer request? And again, I'm not saying be fake. Authenticity is one of our values as a church. Be real. But let's just have some perspective here. See, this hurts. But I'm going to celebrate because God is doing something in me. And at the end of this, and that end may be when I'm with Him in eternity. Maybe I'm with Him in heaven. But the end of this is going to be better because of this right now. And so any hard time, any difficult situation, are we willing to rejoice? Don't complain. And the first thing we're supposed to do is to endure. Oh, we're not enduring anymore. Endure, don't avoid. You can sit down. And I also said don't complain, so stop your complaining. And then finally, here's the last thing we're supposed to do, is to grow. Don't become bitter. And this is just, I mean, the Bible, we'll look at a couple passages here, but how often I see people go through a hard time and they get angry at God. And God is just trying to love them into a better relationship with Him. And I remember I had a conversation with someone not too long ago saying, okay, you're going through a really hard time right now. Do you think God's trying to get your attention? And I think the answer is yes. The answer was yes for that person. And God changed them. They changed. But it's easy to become bitter in those moments and get angry at God. God, why? God, why? God, why? And we can ask God why, but let's step back and say, okay, God, what? What is it you want to do through this? What do you want to do in me? And so this one is to grow. Don't become bitter. So if you're going to grow, you're going to stand up and stretch as high as you can. So get it, stand up and stretch as high as grow up. Up, up. A little higher, Justin. A little higher, Justin. Not quite there. All right. Yes, to them. So, quickly, this is what James says in James 1, 2-4. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." We already said that. "Consider difficulty an opportunity for joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." James says, when you go through these things, celebrate them because God is growing you. Let it happen. Let Him grow you. Use these hard times to become more like Jesus. And the second thing over in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, he says, Peter writes, "In all this you greatly rejoice." He's saying rejoice again. "Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." You're going to have to suffer. Rejoice in it. "They have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter says, we're going through these things because God is purifying your relationship with Him. He is growing you to make you more like Him. He's getting rid of the things so we can say more of you and less of me. Take everything. It's in the pressing, in the crushing, God, that you're making the new wine. So I'm going to yield to these things. It's almost like those songs were on purpose. Because God is using that to grow us. And so when you get into these moments, it's easy to become bitter. But I would just encourage you to grow. Don't become bitter. God, what are you trying to do here? What is it that you want to do in my life? Who is it that you're trying to you know, is there something in me that needs to change? Is there someone that needs to watch me suffer through this so that they grow closer to you? Is it that difficult situation that changes the heart of someone else? And God chose to bring you through it for the sake of their soul? So, ready? We need to endure. Don't avoid. I'm not saying it's easy, but we need to endure it. The second thing is we need to rejoice. Don't complain. And finally, we need to grow and don't become bitter because God wants to do something in us and through us. So wise up and take it. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, God. This is not easy. We're human. You know that. And you were fully man and fully human, fully man, fully God, when Jesus walked this earth and understood pain and understood challenges and understood difficulty. And God, thank you for sending your Son to be our example in the midst of the hard times. And I'm not saying what we're talking about this morning is easy. But God, help us to have the perspective that when it comes to would we rather the easy way, if it meant we didn't grow closer to you or to endure the hardship, to take the discipline, knowing that it's going to draw us closer to you. Help us to step into that. Help us to endure and just not run away from it, not avoid it. Help us to rejoice, which is so hard, but to change our focus from us to our focus to an attitude of worship towards you rather than complaining. And God, help us to grow in these situations and not become bitter towards you because of it. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to learn. And God, I thank you, even though I don't want to say this from a human perspective, I thank you for the hurt. I thank you for the hard times. I thank you for the brokenness that has drawn me closer to you. And I know that many people listening and watching right now can echo that same sentiment. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.